Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Trinity Sunday, the day our worship service always seems to take about twice as long because we say the Athanasian Creed. When we try to peel back the mysteries of the Godhead just enough to peer inside at who our God is and how he relates to himself and to his creation, meaning us. That's certainly not for the faint of heart. So today we're going to look at this a little differently. Instead of keying in on all three persons of the Trinity, we are going to narrow our focus down to the person in whom God has chosen to reveal himself to us, namely Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Though we primarily associate creation with God the Father, redemption with God the Son, and sanctification, that is, making people holy, with God the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, takes an active role in all three. After all, he does say in our gospel reading that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And so, God's authority in Christ is there in everything. We look first at our Old Testament reading at creation and Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. God the Son was present with God in the beginning. In John chapter 1, he comes right out and says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. What does that mean? It means the Word, that is, the Son, was there in the beginning, and everything was made through him. I want you to listen again to the first three verses of our Old Testament reading. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, there is the Son. The word that God uses to speak creation into existence is Jesus, is his Son. God spoke the world into being through his word. It is in this way that he delegates his authority to Jesus to create. God speaks and it happens. It is by this authority which the Father gives to the Son that Jesus creates the world. And so Christ's authority extends over all creation. And in fact, he shows this on multiple occasions during his ministry when he shows his power over creation. As just one, we look at Matthew chapter 8 when the disciples are crossing over the Sea of Galilee, during a violent storm. And where is Jesus? Asleep in the bow. Jesus isn't worried because he is in control. The disciples beg Jesus to save them, and he rebukes them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And then he turns and rebukes the winds and the waves, and they stop. Jesus' power extends over all creation. And so, what sort of man is this, the disciples ask, that even the winds and sea obey him? The answer? He is the sort of man who created the winds and the seas and set them in their place. So because Jesus creates all things, because God through his Son creates the world, and because he is master of all he created, he governs all things, all of creation, for the good of his people. He provides for us everything we need every day of our lives. He provides our food, our clothing, our job, our family, all of these things and so much more are given to us by our loving Father in heaven, are given to us by Him through His Son. And this is why it is so important for us to share what we have, both by returning the first and best to Him, and by sharing of our bounty with those in need. Because this demonstrates our thankfulness to God for providing it. However, Jesus' authority over creation, which He exercises for our good, is only the first part of the story. We continue on and we see that He is most especially active in redemption, in saving us from our sins. We all know the gospel. We all know what Jesus did for us, for His people, that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, true God, became true man. He left, He put aside his divine power and became one of us, a true human man, born under the law, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. He fulfilled the law perfectly in every respect on our behalf, which He credits to us. He gives us His sinlessness, and then He takes our sinfulness away and takes it to the cross, dying to pay the penalty under the law. The wages of sin is death. Jesus pays death for the sins that we commit. And then, because He was God, the grave could not keep Him, and so He rose again from the dead to show His mastery over not just life, but death itself, confirming that we also are spared from eternal death. And all of this Jesus does only on His own authority. The Romans may have nailed Him to the cross, but He was there Himself. In John chapter 10, He says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Jesus does everything by His own authority, authority given to Him by His Father in heaven, to redeem us. It is by His own authority that He dies on the cross, and it is by His own authority that He rises again and forgives our sins. And He shows His authority as God by healing. We look in Matthew chapter 9, and when the paralyzed man comes to Jesus, he says, "That you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," which only God could do. He heals the paralyzed man and causes him to walk. Jesus has authority, and He uses it for our benefit, to save us from our sins. He gives us the forgiveness of our sins, and it is by His authority that we baptize and are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Why is it that the bread and wine that are on the altar today become His true body and blood? Because He commands. It is by His authority, by His word, that we receive the sacrament to forgive our sins. And even when we are forgiven and redeemed for our sins, Christ's authority extends even beyond this to making us holy. It is by His authority that we become holy. He sends us His Holy Spirit. In John chapter 15, He says, "The Helper whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, He will bear witness about me." It is by the Father's authority that Jesus is sent. It is by Jesus' authority that the Holy Spirit is sent to us. And it is through the Holy Spirit that we are made holy, that we teach others about Him, that we teach what He commands and what He does. And it is through that teaching that more come to receive him and to become holy as he is holy. And the authority which Jesus gave to the disciples in our gospel reading today to make disciples, baptize, and teach is also given to the church, to us. We also are given Christ's authority to teach others about him, to bring them to know and to love and to share him, even though it is so much more than we can possibly do on our own. He sends us his Holy Spirit who works in and through us to do it. God the Father created our world through the Son, knowing that our first parents, Adam and Eve, would sin, knowing that he would have to intervene in creation to restore us to himself. He gave his Son authority to enter into human history in order to take away our sinfulness and give us his sinlessness. God the Son sends his Holy Spirit to make us holy like he is holy. The Holy Spirit works in us through our baptism, through the Word, through the sacrament, to transform us into what we were always meant to be. This is not something that will ever stop. God's promises to us will never come to an end. Even though we will never be as perfect or as holy in this life, sin will always be there waiting to trip us up, Jesus' promise to be with us always will always stand. He will not abandon us. He will not leave us in our sins. The Father sent him to redeem us. He sent his Son to sanctify us. Or he sent his Spirit to sanctify us. And the Spirit will bring us to be with the Son who brings us to the Father, washed clean and forgiven, perfect as he is perfect, holy as he is holy, to live and rejoice with them forevermore. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.